peaceful and a social evil. But their problem is that USPS is not only a government agency that works, but millions of folks see it working for them daily. To maintain the negative political narrative, the far-right corporatists are desperate to kill our public post offices. To help save them, go to usmailnotforsale.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
This is Craig Lubow, and thank you for joining us here on Radioactive Magazine today. My guest today is Brittany McGinley from the Kansas City Teacher Residency Program. Brittany is a founding member of the Kansas City Teacher Residency and has a decade of experience in nonprofit and educational leadership. In her role as Manager of Communications and Operations at KCTR, Brittany works closely with the teachers, partners, and staff to build a strong community of educators and advocates for Kansas City's most vulnerable students. Her passion for the KCTR mission starts with her love of Kansas City and the belief that all students deserve an equitable education. Welcome, Brittany.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, tell us what exactly the case the program is with Kansas City Teacher Residency is, and what its mission and values are.
Sure. Yeah, KCTR, we are a local nonprofit organization. We were founded in 2016, and what we do is we recruit individuals that have a mission just like ours to create equitable education for all students. Our teachers come on board. They make a commitment to teach in Kansas City for 4 years. We train them for an entire year. They work with a mentor teacher in the classroom 4 days a week. 1 day a week, they take classes with our instructors while earning a master's degree in urban education. It is our hope and our vision that we can transform Kansas City's educational landscape by providing high-quality teachers for the classrooms in Kansas City where teachers are needed the most, with our students who need the most love. And everyone that joins KCTR believes that, and I think that helps create a really strong mission and helps us reach our goals every single day that they enter the classroom.
And the teachers that entered the program, are they people that are already teachers and have like bachelor's degrees in education or whatever?
Most of our teachers come with some interest or some involvement in education or volunteer work in the community, but none of them come with teacher credentials. And so that's where we come in. You have to have a bachelor's degree to join our program as a prerequisite. Part of that because we are a master's degree program as well. But a lot of our teachers come in with a lot of real-world experience from different walks of life, backgrounds in business, engineering, marketing, what have you, as well as a lot of teachers who come from different nonprofits in Kansas City that are serving our community. We have a lot of people from City Year, which is a great organization here in Kansas City that supports education and supports teachers in the classroom already. We also have a lot of people that come from Literacy Lab. It's another fantastic organization that focuses on literacy in elementary classrooms. And so that wide variety of teachers really creates a diverse makeup of each cohort year after year.
And we had some people from City Year that were 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, we actually work in the same building as City Year, so it's a really strong connection, a real talent pipeline that we've created.
All right. And what is the process if somebody wants to join your program, get a master's degree? How do they go about getting into it?
There's so many ways to get involved at KCTR. We have a fantastic talent team. Lauren and Andrew, Lauren Sinovic and Andrew Stewart are always excited and eager to engage with anyone interested in joining the program. You could always contact us through phone. We have 816-298-5660. And it's really easy to set up a call with Lauren. Whether you've made a connection with somebody that works at KCTR or you're just calling to learn a little bit more about it. Also, our website, kcteach.org, you can learn a lot about the benefits of KCTR. If you have any questions about that, you can reach out through email at info@kcteach.org. We try to make ourselves available in different community events and you know, through different meetings around town. So if you see anybody that works for KCTR, we're all ready and willing to answer any questions that you might have.
How does your program differ from the more traditional, if you will, programs that you would go through if you were, like, going to KU or UMKC?
That's a great question. I think the biggest difference might be the amount of time that you have in preparing to become a teacher. Most traditional programs, you'll probably become a teacher after a four-year degree with maybe 6 months of doing a student teaching. With KCTR, you come in with that four-year degree already, so you do have your bachelor's degree, but you get an entire year of training before you have your own classroom. We find this to be very effective because you enter the classroom with a greater sense of confidence and effectiveness on day one.
What's the size or number of students you take at one time?
We've grown year after year. Right now we're recruiting for our fourth cohort. Currently in our third cohort, we've recruited 50 individuals into the program. Each of these individuals are also paired with a mentor teacher. So it's kind of like you have a full cohort of new teachers on board, and then you have a full cohort of mentor teachers who are also receiving training on how to coach your resident, on how to develop your own skills as a master teacher. And this creates a really large impact on the number of classrooms that we can serve. We're currently also working with 59 graduates total in our program. And so our staff at KCTR and our instructors are not just coaching the residents who are in their residency year training to become teachers. We're also coaching our graduates who are in their first year of teaching, their second year of teaching, and still learning what is their teacher voice, where are areas that they need to develop. You get a full sense of support from KCTR when you join our program, from your first year of teaching all the way through till you become an alumni of our program in your fourth year of teaching.
And the students that go through your program, are they agreeing then to teach in specific schools where they have to, because I think you said urban schools?
Yes.
So would they, like, if they would not be allowed to go into, like, some of the suburban schools then?
Yes and no, Craig. We actually work with 16 different districts throughout Kansas City. We work in urban schools, meaning like straight in downtown Kansas City, such as Crossroads Academy. We also work in schools east of Troost, west of Troost. We work in North Kansas City School District, Hickman Mills School District, and, of course, the largest school district here in KC, the Kansas City Public School District. And so there's a wide variety of places for not only teachers to train, but also for them to really make out a career and be placed there full-time after they complete their residency. We like to think of our different training sites and placement sites just as diverse as we like to be with our selection of teachers. So, yes, you've got urban schools, you've got suburban schools, you've got public schools, charter schools. We really try to make sure that if there are Kansas City students there and if there is a need for quality teachers or a need for more teachers of color or more male teachers, that we are interested in partnering with those school districts. And we want to hear how there's a need for, you know, quality teachers coming into their schools, and how can we work with that school and that partnership to help fill that. We're always growing. We're always looking for new partnerships. And so I would say currently with 16 districts, there are still others out there that have needs that we are interested in hearing about. At the same time, we're also looking to recruit the next cohort of students to join our program. So constantly just, you know, growing and flowing on every end.
And when you mentioned some of the districts, I think they were all on the Missouri side. Do you also do anything with the Kansas districts, like in Wyandotte County?
We're not currently in any Kansas school districts. Yes, that's right. We're actually only on the Missouri side as of now. I believe Kansas does have a lot of needs similar to Missouri. But right now, with the way the policies are, we're gonna stick to Missouri until it's a little easier to transition over state lines. And, you know, a lot of our students are very same regardless of where they fall on the state line, and so there's definitely a need.
Has there been any research to look at the impact that your program has on the students that these teachers go out and teach versus teachers just going there from the traditional universities?
Absolutely. Research indicates that, you know, a passionate, highly effective teacher is the single greatest indicator of student success. And at KCTR, we believe that by training more effective teachers, supporting them in understanding the unique needs of urban students, as well as increasing the number of teachers of color and male teachers in the profession, we can change the educational landscape of Kansas City and beyond. So currently in Missouri, 90% of the teaching force are white individuals, whereas at KCTR, 45% of our teachers are people of color. Study shows that students who have teachers that look more like them have a greater chance of succeeding academically and beyond. As well as in the Missouri, traditional educational education prep programs have 80% females that they train and prepare for classrooms, whereas at KCTR, we have 30% of our cohorts that are male. And so focusing on diversity is something that we know, based on research, is going to give students a greater chance at being college ready.
What are some of the special types of techniques that you might use that aren't always used in other programs?
Absolutely. I think one of the really interesting things about our program is that we are ran completely by very talented educators who have been in the work for a long time, specifically those who have worked in urban schools. Their experiences are probably the key to what makes our program very unique here in Kansas City, is that they've been in the work specifically in Kansas City, and now they're training new teachers to come on board and to take that baton and carry it on. We have culturally sensitive training for our teachers, all of our teachers, whether they are coming into the program as residents or whether they are mentor teachers who need that continued development. We make sure that all of our teachers are learning a lot about the Kansas City landscape itself. What are the issues currently being faced by teachers in Kansas City, by students and families in Kansas City? You know, what are the racial histories of our city? This type of training takes place the summer before a resident even steps into the classroom, so we feel like we're really preparing them to not only engage as teachers in a school, but engage as community members with families and with their students to help them find a way to connect. That connection is really powerful when it's paired with that passion that we find in the teachers that join our program. It's really been able to transform not just the lives of our students, but the teachers that join our program. We've really seen them find their calling. A lot of our teachers, you know, they spend time out in other careers before they join us, and they always say very similar things, that, you know, they always wanted to be a teacher, or when they graduated from high school, they wanted to be a teacher, but there were certain things that held them back. Maybe it was family pressures, you know, maybe it was a different opportunity in college. But they always find their way back to teaching, that tug on their heart that's, you know, I think I'd be really happy in a classroom making an impact on students. And so when they find KCTR, there's a sense of relief, like, ah, like this is where I'm supposed to be. But there's still that big question mark of, now how do I do this? And that's where KCTR steps in. We have a full year of training paired with that summer institute right before you join into the classroom. And not only are you training for an entire year with somebody who is very skilled in teaching and having a coach who's going to come and observe you and critique you and give you feedback, once you become certified at the end of your residency year, you're now halfway done with your master's degree. You get placed full-time in a school, one of our 38 schools currently that we partner with within those 16 districts. And now you're a teacher of record. You are salaried. You have the support of KCTR. And you're on your way. And we find that KCTR has a very high retention rate. We retain 98% of our teachers who complete our program. And that's one of the keys to our success, is that we want to find individuals who have a heart for the work. We want to give them all the tools and the resources that they need to be successful. And then we want to see them have sustained careers and increase their development year over year for the students. Because teachers who stay in the work are only getting better for every year that they stay, so long as they have the development and the support that they need, both through our program and also their school sites. And I think the different districts and schools that we pair with, it's not by accident. They are intentionally seeking our program in order to build a stronger community within their school.
I know that teaching in some of the urban schools, from my experience in juvenile court practice, as well as foster care that I've done in the past, is that the children in the inner city urban schools are a lot more challenging because of problems that they bring to school with them. So what kind of special training do your teachers get to deal with those special problems?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of different pieces that come together, whether it's the literature that they read, whether it's the degree program that they're enrolled in. But more than anything, they're learning from a mentor teacher who has techniques that are getting played out day after day. And so our teachers, as they're training and learning from a mentor teacher, they're not taking on a full responsibility of managing behavior, of managing transitions between class and recess. They're getting to see it. And then they're getting to ask questions about it. And then they're getting to practice it. And while they're practicing it, someone's observing them and telling them, oh, you could have done this better. Or did you consider ever saying it this way? A lot of research is out there specifically for urban teaching. And so as we're part of a larger community, a larger mission, a larger movement of residency programs, you know, we definitely take into account different academic works from our curriculum writers, from our instructors. Everyone comes together to help create the best strategies and approaches that give our teachers the training and the techniques they need to be successful.
And so the districts that you work with, when those teachers go to them, are those districts typically then receptive to input from the new teachers in terms of designing the programs each year?
Yes, we are a very feedback-heavy organization, and so we are constantly, not too constantly, but we're constantly getting feedback from our partners, whether that be building leaders. We get feedback from our mentor teachers, and we definitely get feedback from our residents and our graduates. It is a community effort. Everyone is part of the building of our program. I think that's what makes Kansas City Teacher Residency really unique, is that we're homegrown and we're still growing. And so, yeah, we absolutely take it, that input, and put it to use as often as we can.
Does your program qualify, are students able to get financial aid? Or?
Yes, so we partner with a local university here, Park University, and our students are graduate students, categorized as graduate students at Park. They get a tuition discount through partnering with KCTR, and they are eligible for any financial aid that any other Park University student would be eligible for. In addition, we're also an AmeriCorps program. I'm not sure how familiar you are with AmeriCorps, but it comes with many benefits, one of which includes a living stipend. So all of our residents who come into our program, it is a full-time program. So there's not a lot of time for a part-time job or anything like that. But we do provide a stipend worth $25,000 to all of our residents that they can use for all of their living expenses to use how they need to.
So are all of the students that come into your program through AmeriCorps, or are there some that are not?
That's a good question. We actually became an AmeriCorps program just over the summer. And so the way that we do our talent recruitment, you would join our program, apply to our program, get accepted. And then once you're accepted into our program, you would then join and go through all of the application processes for AmeriCorps. So it's not a prerequisite to be an AmeriCorps member in order to join, but we would definitely connect you with AmeriCorps once you're in.
Let me have you give that website one more time.
You bet. It's kcteach.org. That's KC as in Kansas City, teach as in teacher.org.
All right. And are there any new programs that you're working on developing that are on the horizon?
That's a great question. As we're recruiting for Cohort 4, we're definitely looking for teachers not just in Kansas City area, but also anybody that's out there beyond that wants to join Kansas City and make a commitment to Kansas City. That's something that we're trying to amp up, as well as, you know, keeping an eye out for any opportunities to partner with any other schools that are interested. I think we're always looking for individuals and for communities that want to increase their teacher retention rates and increase the quality of teachers that they have in their buildings, and we would love to talk with you.
Okay. So for those who just joined us after the show started, we've been talking with Brittany McGinley, who is founding team member of the Kansas City Teacher Residency Program. And that was our topic tonight. And so thank you for joining us, Brittany.
Thank you for having me, Craig.
Okay, I want to thank Brittany and Craig for that interview. And we got another short segment here tonight. Spencer Graves has brought us an update on two news items. First of all, a new historical marker has been unveiled about the lynching of Levi Harrington back on April the 3rd, 1882 in the West Bottoms. And after that, he's going to do a segment on Nukes on Trial, update on the five Peaceworks activists who were arrested. So right now, we're going to go right to Spencer Graves and those news items.
A plaque memorializing a lynching in Jackson County, Missouri, was dedicated Saturday, December 1st. Levi Harrington was lynched from a beam on the Bluff Street Bridge in the West Bottoms on April 3rd, 1882, near the site of the present St. Louis Avenue Bridge, a couple of hundred yards northwest of the intersection of West 10th and Summit Streets, where the plaque now stands. The lynching followed the fatal shooting of a police officer. Newspapers reported that Mr. Harrington was innocent of the accusations against him, and no one was held accountable for lynching him. Harrington was reportedly a well-respected African American who lived with his wife and five children near Kansas City. One of his former employers described him as a faithful, honest man, sober and industrious, saving his money, and caring for his family. He was one of almost 4,400 racial terror lynchings between 1877 and 1950 in a registry compiled by the National Memorial for Peace and Justice Project of the Equal Justice Initiative. On April 2nd of this year, Kansas City Mayor Sly James and other leaders in Missouri published official acknowledgments of the lynching with a proclamation read at the December 1st ceremony dedicating the plaque memorializing Harrington's lynching. This is further discussed in the Wikipedia article on Levi Harrington. This is Spencer Graves reporting for Radioactive Magazine on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Trespass charges against five anti-nuke protesters were dismissed last Friday, December 7, when the planned witness for the prosecution failed to appear. The alleged trespass occurred last Memorial Day, May 28, when five people crossed a line onto the property of the Kansas City National Security Campus, just north of the former Richard Schubauer Air Force Base, south of Kansas City. This alleged trespass occurred as part of an annual Peace Witness for a Nuclear Weapons-Free World organized by PeaceWorks Kansas City. The five defendants were Henry Stover, Tom Fox, Linda Mountainay, Sonny Hamrick, and Brian Terrell. Stover, Mountainay, and Hamrick serve on the board of PeaceWorks Kansas City. Stover is their president. Fox is CEO and president of National Catholic Reporter. Terrell is a National Catholic Worker and national leader of Voices for Creative Nonviolence. The case was titled City of Kansas City, Missouri versus Stover et al. The witness who failed to appear was Stephen C. Jackson, a security guard at the plant. Assistant City Prosecutor Ann Booten said she'd sent this witness a letter several months ago. She tried to call him repeatedly over the past 2 weeks, and he had not returned any of her phone calls. Several defendants speculated that executives for Honeywell, who managed that facility, may have asked Jackson not to appear to avoid adverse publicity about their operation. When the witness failed to appear, Municipal Court Judge Martina Peterson dismissed the charges. After charges were dismissed, the defendants spoke briefly about why they chose to get arrested last Memorial Day. Fox said that he would trespass into a burning home to save children trapped inside. He said his trespass on the Kansas City plant was similarly required because the U.S. nuclear program threatens the entirety of civilization. In this, he cited Daniel Ellsberg's recent book, The Doomsday Machine. In that book, Ellsberg claims that it's only a matter of time until the U.S. becomes involved in a nuclear war that will kill 98% of humanity unless that nuclear arsenal is dismantled first. A few from the audience of roughly 60 people also spoke. One of those was Maurice Copeland, who had been an employee at this facility when it was located on Bannister Road. He said that public officials have routinely lied in claiming that this facility is safe, producing only non-nuclear parts for nuclear weapons. He said that this has been contradicted by overwhelming evidence of nuclear contamination at the nuclear Bannister complex and the several people who died prematurely from rare cancers that only occur from exposure to nuclear and other contamination that government officials repeatedly said was not at that plant. This is Jim Hannon reporting for Radioactive Magazine on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio.
Okay, and thank you, Jim. And there's a couple of calendar updates. Tomorrow, Wednesday, December 12th, the Lawrence Democratic Socialists of America are having a holiday party at the EMC at KU. And all those people that know the KU campus knows what that means. That's at 1204 O'Reed in Lawrence, Kansas. That's tomorrow from 7 to 9, the Lawrence Democratic Socialists of America. Also tomorrow, Wednesday, December 12th at 1:30 p.m., Moms Demand Action Meeting at the Kansas City Public Library in Westport. More information is available if you check out Moms Demand Action KC Facebook. They do ask you to RSVP for that meeting. But anyway, that's also tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. at the KC Public Library. And finally, celebrating the art of the civil rights movement, communities creating opportunities. That's Friday, December 14th, 6 to 9 p.m. And that's at 2400 Troost Avenue, KCMO. I know that that's a building you walk in and you'll get a directory to where that particular meeting is going on. Thank you for listening to Radioactive Magazine. Keep your dial right here on KKFI. Coming up in a bit is...